Apron?
Check.
Knives?
Oh, check.
Pots?
Check.
Ingredients?
Check.
Now you're ready for Perth Foodie. 17 minutes to 7, you're listening to Nadia and Russ on ABC Radio Perth. Now, we were in Esperance over the weekend.
Oh, brilliant.
We had a great time, yep. Met lots of people, including a lot of farmers, and they like to eat well. And in fact, Rusty Smitho served up some splendid sand whiting at the footy club on Saturday night. That was a pretty good meal.
Smitho at Gibbo.
Yeah, it was good. But a lot of people were telling us that farm or station cooks are among the best you'll ever find. They can cook for a crowd, they feed people on the move, and they use up every ingredient.
They are often recipes that have been handed down. And if you've got one that you're willing to share, maybe a family recipe that feeds loads of people, we'd love to hear from you. 1-300-222-720 or text 0437-922-720. We caught up with Gillian Inkster when we were in Esperance, who started up a Facebook page called Harvest Time Cooking for other people who live on farms to share their recipes. We asked Gillian how it began.
Well, it came together as in our community. We often talk and that, but it's eating time. We're very busy, and with social media, it's a great way to connect and share recipes to feed the hungry troops.
Were people like, you know, sort of complaining about how difficult it was? And you know, did someone sort of go, oh, you know, we could probably do something about this?
Well, I suppose when we all get together, all we ever talk about is, cooking at this time of the year and feeding huge numbers of people. So.
Which is spag bowl? Is that your go-to for
Tricky. Quite tricky to eat on a tractor with a fork as you're driving along, because all that machinery is often, you're driving and eating. So it was recipes that could be made beforehand or the day before, or easily to send out to the machinery and eaten with one hand while you're steering or loading machinery. So, yeah, that's how it started, and it was amazing. Just so many people had so many fantastic things to share.
And on top of that, it's got to be filling food and, again, food to feed a crowd. I mean, how many people would you be cooking for?
We only have a small operation, so there's usually five or six plus our children that need to be fed. So, yeah, it's trying to find, because it's 8 weeks, trying to find nutritious food so people can feel up and healthy and not too much sugar-laden stuff and, yeah, snacks and that. So, yeah, and it's also main meal, it's often lunches and then morning and afternoon tea as well. So.
Are you tapping into social history, do you reckon? Like, do you think that there's recipes that have come from three generations perhaps ago that are still the right sort of food to be cooking at this time of year in the southeast?
I think that's been the loveliest part of it, is people sharing recipes that they remember eating when they grew up, or their mums and dads ate when they were growing up on the farms. Yeah, I'm not from a farming background, so it was a whole big learning curve for me to learn to cook for so many people.
Because someone has said to me, the best cooks you'll find are farm cooks or station cooks.
Oh, I'd have to agree. And people are so ingenious in what they use, because, yeah, you go to town. You might not go to town for 2 weeks during harvest, so you've got to be prepared, have everything in the freezer, and people have got these fabulous little hacks that they love sharing, and yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Go on.
Let's get some tips then.
Yes.
This is great.
And us like that.
And if there are people listening in the regions that want to share a recipe, you know what to do. Give us a call, 1-300-222-720 or text on 0437-922-720. Okay, first of all, you're not going to town for 2 weeks. What are the staples you have to have in your pantry and your fridge?
I suppose meat. There's always lots of meat on farm, so we have lots of meat. And then it's just flour, sugar, butter. And, yeah, and just basic recipes usually just use really basic ingredients, and you can be quite inventive with just the staples that most of us have in our pantry, but we tend to buy them in bulk.
Okay, what are some of the things you cook?
I suppose harvest time, it's usually summer, so there's a lot more salads and sandwiches and, yeah, there's pasta dishes and that, but, yeah, the trick is to keep it warm. So I find, often pasta dishes are really popular with the guys, mm-hmm. or hamburgers are like a treat.
How do you keep your pasta warm for that long?
It's taken me a few years to work out, but I run a system where I make all the meals in foil containers and then we freeze them, and then every morning everyone takes out their own lunches, and we've got a little 12-volt, like a little oven that plugs into the tractor. And, yeah, you just heat your food up and you have to pack a tea towel so it doesn't burn on your lap while you're eating. But, yeah, that works quite well. I know other people where they cook the food hot and deliver it out to the paddocks hot, which I think is an amazing feat. This page has helped us share ideas and, yeah, trying to find environmentally friendly ways to deliver the food, or else how to get all your containers back out of all the machinery. So it's another challenge. So
Sometimes things don't freeze well. Have you come up against that? Or
we worked out lettuce is not so good to freeze in exactly. The sandwich.
I mean, what about tomato in a sandwich? That's not
No, that, we just so. Sort of, yeah, often I'll make up bulk. Yeah, I'll come to town, I might buy five loaves of bread.
Sorry to interrupt. So you freeze sandwiches?
Yes. So I discovered that a couple of years ago.
Talk to me about that. I've not heard of that before.
I'll buy five loaves of bread, nice and fresh, and then just come home and just do ham and cheese and pickles or cheese and mayo. And just make up a heap of combinations and then just freeze them, and then we just take them out fresh or frozen and they just defrost by lunchtime.
And they taste okay?
They taste fabulous. Tomato and lettuce is a little bit... Did try curried egg. They did say it was a little bit rubbery.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's one. I remember trying... I've done that, tried that with a sandwich, and it changes. You know, it just...
And if you just...
Chemically.
Yeah, and most of them freeze really well. It's a bit like biscuits. I never knew you could freeze biscuits and cakes, and they defrost beautifully, so...
Yeah, cakes, I do that. I'll cook a cake, slice it up, individually wrap them, and then throw them in the lunchbox every second day as a treat, and they defrost beautifully. We're talking to Gillian Inkster from Harvest Time Cooking, which is a... And I love what Harvest Time Cooking is. It is a Facebook page that you put together, so... People that live on farms can share their recipes. And if you've got a recipe to share, we'd love to hear from you. 1-300-222-720 or text on 0437-922-720. And that Facebook group, is it just about the recipes or there are other advantages to it?
At the moment, I think one of the greatest advantages when you're busy in that, you feel very isolated because you're just with your family or where you're working. So it's a really nice way when you might be preparing food to realise, oh, hang on, there's lots of other people doing the same thing as I'm doing at the moment. And you can, yeah, see what people are sharing. And we might bump into someone in town when you do come into town. They say, oh, I made your recipe. And you think, oh, it was really lovely. Or you'll send the meal out saying it's so-and-so's recipe. And it is, it's a way to connect and know, or just to send a message hi to other people and all in the same situation.
I'd love to have a look at your freezer. Is it huge?
Oh, it's more than one freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harvest Time, it's four freezers. Yeah, so it's full. But it's not necessarily all food. We'll have our own meat. So, that fills up a lot of space.
A couple of sheep in there or something like that.
Yeah.
Feeding a crowd then, particularly for people who, we're not all master chefs in the kitchen. What's a good couple of go-tos then if someone's needing, has to feed six
Nadia
or seven, eight
I,
people?
Well, no, so Nadia and I have to feed 20 people.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've worked out you definitely can't gourmet make it look beautiful on the plate. It has to go into a thing. But, yeah, I think probably the pasta seem to be the most substantial. And often we have people, that are hungry and growing, so they need, So there's a recipe on there that I was given from a local gentleman, Mr. Merv Andre. It was an Esperance. It was his great-granny's recipe for macaroni cheese. And it was the simplest, so basic. It takes 10 minutes to whip up. And, and it's lovely. Every time I cook of it, I think of him and how long this recipe has been around.
He was a Shire president, wasn't he, Merv Andre?
I'm not sure. He was, with the museum. And
that's right.
But he was so generous in sharing the recipe. And every time I cook it, I often think,
Can you remember it now to talk us through it?
Oh, I know. It's you chop up an onion, do a bit of bacon, fry it off, a bit of garlic, and then you just add two tins of tomato, and then just make a white sauce, which I have a Thermomix, so I just make the white sauce in the Thermomix and tip that all together and add a packet of pasta, pop it in the oven, and it's absolutely delicious.
That's so simple.
It is so simple, and that's what we've worked out. The simplest recipes are really lovely.
What about cakes? Do you cook cakes for your staff?
We do, and cakes are fabulous. Easy to bake up, freeze, individually wrap, and then just take, like you said, every morning. So this one shared by Mary is called the Ridiculously Large Chocolate Cake, and very simple. It's just self-raising flour, sugar, cocoa, bicarb, butter, milk, vanilla, and six eggs all mixed in a bowl into a big baking tray and baked until she says it smells good.
That's brilliant. So all in one bowl, in any order, mix it all up and you're done.
That's it, and it is ridiculously large. She says fabulous for birthday cakes, anything, so go-to cake.
We will post that recipe on our website, the Ridiculously Large Chocolate Cake that never flops. Cook until you smell good. We will put that online today, so if you want to grab that recipe, you can do so a little later today.
You mentioned when I said spaghetti bolognese, you went, oh, that's a hard one to eat if you're on a tractor. That's a key part then. So, is this ridiculously large chocolate cake something that can be eaten if you're operating machinery?
Definitely. I've worked out I drive the header at harvest time, so I can do it one-handed and still take off the crop. Yeah, and it has been a challenge to work out what can balance on your lap while you're concentrating on what's going around you. So, yeah, it's not all about flavour. It's sometimes about what's practical out in the paddock.
And working out on a farm, it's hard, laborious work. I wonder if food is it's not only there for sustenance but a bit of a treat and a reward as well.
You want
to have tasty food.
It is, and it is. You sort of plan, well, I personally plan my day around what's in my lunchbox. So, yeah, you set your time, think, oh, it's nearly cake time, or, yeah, or what have I got for lunch? Or yeah, so it is. It does. It breaks the day up. It's a big part of harvest. It's feeding people, and it is. We don't seem to have as many shearers cooks anymore, mm-hmm. or station cooks, so mm-hmm. it is, and it falls on often the wife or the girlfriend or the mum to prepare all these meals, so it's lovely to have a bank of meals to share.
She's fantastic. Gillian Ingster there. Her Facebook group is Harvest Time Cooking, which I'm now a member of, Russell.
Of course you are.
So I can bring in big serves of food for you.
I can't wait.